animals be in heaven? There is no doubt that animals will be in heaven. The Bible is clear in the book of Revelation 19:11. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. Okay, so it's going to be one white horse. Actually, it's going to be a whole lot of other horses too. The Bible describes the angels around God's throne as having the characteristics and features of a lion, a bull, and an eagle. Not just people in white with harps or sword. A lion. Why a lion? The bravest, boldest, strongest of the animals. Majesty. Yes. The eagle flies the highest, sweeps down the fastest, can see the furthest. And the bull, strong. And an angel that looks like a man. Thinking of, again, thinking. God himself is likened in the scripture to a lion. In fact, he's not just a lion, he is the lion. And like a leopard. Why a leopard? The leopard's the quietest animal in the bush. I had a leopard as a pet when I was growing up in Indonesia. Good friend, welcome. They are so quiet that they come up right behind you, you would not even know they're there. They are silent. God can sneak up on you and you don't even know it. A bear. You know, the largest land carnivore on earth is the polar bear. God is like a bear, we read in Hosea 13. And he's like an eagle. In fact, Deuteronomy 32 says, God trains his young like an eagle trains his young. God made a good and a perfect earth, populated by many animals. And God directed Adam to name the animals, which indicates relationship. The largest book in the Bible, the Psalms, the middle book of the Bible, the Psalms, the hymn book and prayer book of the Bible, the Psalms, reveal that all of God's creation have contact with them. God guides the animals. God feeds the animals. The lions look to God for their food. All of God's creatures praise him. We read in Psalm 148 of beasts and great sea creatures and cattle, creeping things, flying fowl. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His name is above heaven and earth. The last verse in the Psalms, Psalm 150 verse 6, the very last psalm. Let everything that is breath, everything that has nefesh, the breath of life in it, praise the Lord. The living creatures around God's throne who are singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, they're animals. Well, they're described having animal-like features. The last book in the Bible presents the final climax of the ages, when all of creation faces the Creator. First, the four living creatures, praise God. Then, the 24 elders, praise God. And then the redeemed people of God, and then the angels. And finally, the great scene is described in the Bible when all living beings present their worship to God. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that's in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne, to the Lamb forever and ever. Every living being will be worshiping God on the last day. Consider the sparrows. God created all the animals. All animals belong to God. All the animals in the forest are mine. All the cattle on 1,000 hills are mine. All the wild birds are mine. And all living things in the fields are mine. Psalm 50, verse 10. Jesus said, are not 5 sparrows sold for but 2 copper coins? But not one of them is forgotten before God. God cares for the animals. And it's that scripture which inspired the first act of the Union of South Africa back in 1910. The first coins minted, 2 half-cent coins, they had on them 2 sparrows to remind us God cares for the very least. Now, there are those people who say animals do not matter. But the Lord Jesus said his people are worth more than many sparrows. So, if a sparrow is worth nothing, then you're worth nothing. Because basic mathematics, 100 times 0 is 0. What's 1,000,000 times 0?
0.
What's 1,000,000,000 times 0?
0.
Still 0. So if you are worth many sparrows and a sparrow is worth nothing, then you're worth nothing. For you to be worth something, the sparrow's got to be worth something. You're of great value. But the sparrows are of some value, are they not? Now, obviously, animals matter to God because the presence of animals in Nineveh is described as one of the reasons why God spared that great city. The last verse in the book of Jonah. Jonah 4 verse 11. Should I not have mercy on that great city? After all, there's 120,000 animals in it and many children. So the presence of animals is listed as one of the reasons God had mercy on Nineveh. Noah's Ark is the premier biblical picture of salvation. God provided a way of salvation from the flood for Noah, his family, and lots of animals. Thousands of animals. Multitudes of animals. I've been to the Ark Encounter, built by Ken Ham and Creation Museum up in America in May last year, and I must tell you, phenomenal. And to see the size of this boat and the amount of animals, and they've worked it out, and it's really impressive from the biblical dimensions. But this is the thing. It's a restoration of the former state of things, that God called all the animals to come together. Noah didn't have to crawl around through the place in order to find the different tortoise and carrots. They came of their own accord. And you can see how God called them, and all the animals responded that he had called into his ark. And just for the animals in Noah's ark, we can see that the salvation provided in Christ includes animals. Ephesians 1:10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, God might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. All things. And following the flood, you've seen rainbows. The rainbow is not just God's reminder of his covenant with us. It's a reminder of his covenant with all the animals too, for all generations. So when the animals look at the rainbow, they're being reminded of the covenant that God has made with all flesh.
That's the boat in real life.
It's incredible size. So we can see a lot of details God gave Noah to care for the animals. If Noah only had to worry about his family and a few domestic animals, he wouldn't have had to build such a big boat. He had to build a boat the size of a Second World War aircraft carrier. Because God wanted even the platypus duck, even the wombat, even the giraffe there, even if it got no domestic purposes for human beings. Because God wanted all the animals. The rescue of animals in Noah's Ark is also a picture of how animals will share in the salvation of Christ's redemption. Just as with the animals in Noah's Ark, we can see the salvation provided by Christ includes animals. When the Word of God tells us that God's eternal plan is for all creation to be brought together in Christ, that includes wildlife too. When God says everything, he's got to mean everything, including animals. My favorite Christmas carol is Joy to the World. I'm sure you've sung about Christmas. Joy to the World. He comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. So, the rebellion of Adam and Eve, breaking God's law, brought death to all people and all animals. The second Adam, Christ, is more powerful than the first Adam. He comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. You can't say the curse of Noah. Curse of Adam went further and caused more damage than the salvation of Christ. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. The blessings of the second Adam are greater than the curse of the first Adam. And all flesh will see the salvation of God. If you've heard Handel's Messiah, all these verses I'm mentioning are pounded out in Handel's Messiah, very powerful. The word used for flesh in Greek refers to mankind and all animals, all creatures. Romans 8:21, because the creation itself will be delivered from the bondage of corruption and the glorious liberty of the children of God. In the light of these and many other scriptures, I firmly believe our loving, almighty Creator intends all his creatures to enjoy heaven with him forever. Did you know bears can dance? The only part of creation that will be missing from heaven, according to the Bible, are those sinful human beings who reject the great salvation that God has provided through our Lord Jesus Christ. In the first chapter of the Bible, Genesis 1, we read that mankind is made responsible by God to care for his creation. We are made answerable to God for our treatment, our care, and our protection of them. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one of us may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done. Do you think God will judge you according to how you treated animals? How you looked after your pets?
Yes.
Of course. Definitely. A good man is kind to his animals, but the wicked are cruel to theirs. Let's have it together. Proverbs 12, verse 10. A good man is kind to his animals, but the wicked are cruel to theirs. A good person is kind to animals. A wicked person is not. I mean, how simple is that? The Bible lays it out. We must take care of animals. My daughter, Daniela, she loves all animals. She loves horses. This is a face only a mother could love. But even the warthog is loved by its mother. And yes, I was a fireman once, and firemen must rescue cats and dogs out of homes as well. Here in Australia, you had a terrible drought, and here you can see this poor koala coming out to the road, and these people showing kindness, these cyclists stopping and giving them water. And this poor koala, he is so, so hot. Look at that. That's so much better. That's nice to be thoughtful for God's creatures. This is what God asks us to do, is to be kind to his creatures. They belong to God. Policemen should stop the traffic to let a duck take their family across the road. Of course, that's the right thing. Matthew Henry is one of the greatest Bible commentators, and he says, we should all care about the life of animals, not just because the animals are our servants, but because they are God's creature. And so it's right that this little girl is thinking about, on a hot day, the dog wants water too. If there's not a bowl of water, you know, make it easy. You press in there so that the dog can get some water. This is what we've got to do. We must be thoughtful to animals. And those people who want to hunt rhinos and poach them for their horns, God gave the rhino a horn. We don't need a horn. Nobody needs a rhino horn except a rhino. Nobody needs an elephant tusk except an elephant. And so some people may think I'm being a bit soppy and soft. But let's take a view from King David. King David was a soldier. King David killed Goliath. 3,000 years ago, David, who God called a man after my own heart, look what David said about affection for your pets. The prophet Nathan spoke to King David about a poor man in his kingdom who had a little lamb who was their pet. He slept in their arms, ate from the table. It was one of the family. And then another man came and he took this animal and killed it as a meal for some visitors. And when David heard about this, David was furious. He says, the man who has done this deserves to die. There wasn't the slightest suggestion that this affection for a pet was inappropriate. 3,000 years ago, in the life of King David, affection for pets was considered completely appropriate, even by a man after God's own heart like David. So it's right for us to care for our pets. In the Bible, you read about animals on special assignments. We read about animals who got a special task, like the raven, who was assigned to bring food to the prophet Elijah. We read about the donkey through whom God spoke, Balaam's donkey, who had more spiritual discernment than his owners had. There was a lion whom God sent to kill a prophet who disobeyed God and to leave the donkey alone so that the people could see this is a judgment of God. And this lion doesn't consume the man, and he doesn't eat the donkey, and he sits there, and the people knew God has done this. There's a big sea creature that God sent to swallow Jonah and transport him to the shore. There's the lions whom God commanded not to harm Daniel when Daniel was thrown to lion's den. And, you know, I'm sure an angel came to the lions and said, Daniel's one of ours. And Daniel probably got a good night's sleep amongst the lions, resting his head on their mane, because he didn't have to fear. He knew the lion. And these lions were told, be patient. And later that day, they were rewarded for their patience because they got the tattletales were thrown in and the lions were able to have a good meal. There's all the animals that God called to come to Adam to be named. And they came. And there's all the animals that God called to appear in the ark and none of them are missing. Okay, big question. Do animals have souls?
Yes.
Yes, indeed. The Hebrew word nefesh is translated soul 130 times in the King James and the Old Testament. The same Hebrew word nefesh, which is translated soul when it applies to people, is translated beast, living creature, or life when it refers to animals. So when people say, well, the Bible says that God gave animal souls, he didn't give any people souls, didn't give any animal souls, only people souls. Well, the verse they turn to, if they read it in the Hebrew, they'll see it does say they have a soul. Genesis 1:21, when referring to God's creating the whales and every living creature, the same word nephesh is used, to have the breath of life. When God made a covenant with Noah and every living creature, and the rainbow is a symbol of it, he used again the word nephesh. The Bible even says the life of the soul is in the blood. Do animals have blood? The word nephesh is translated psyche in the Greek Septuagint, and the classic understanding of the church through all the ages is that animals have souls. It's only the Enlightenment, the humanists, evolutionists, who start to question if animals or people even had souls. And so the idea that a lot of people have that animals don't have souls is not a biblical concept. It's a modern humanistic concept. Okay, you may say animals have souls, but do they have a spirit? Ecclesiastes 3:21 speaks of the spirit, the ruach, of an animal. There's no doubt that God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. To worship God, you must have a spirit. But repeatedly in Psalms and Revelation, we read in the Bible of animals worshiping God. So must they have a spirit to worship God? You may say, but animals aren't created in the image of God. True, but neither are angels, and they'll be in heaven. Some of my friends are penguins. I live amongst the African penguins. We can swim in the beach amongst penguins. These penguins, they mate for life. They are inflexibly loyal to their marriage partner for life. Penguins have been known to swim thousands of miles to find a missing partner. They are seriously loyal. Where do they get that loyalty from? A lot of birds are like that. Eagles, hawks. And here's the emperor penguin. Now, our African penguins are 1 foot high and they weigh about 3 kilograms. An emperor penguin is a meter high and they weigh 30 to 35 kilograms. So, big difference. They can porpoise, they can jump underwater. They can go like a torpedo from underwater and leap up a couple of meters to stand on their feet on an ice ledge. And they are very affectionate parents. In fact, I would say the penguin, emperor penguin, is the dad of the year, dad of the century. Because when the moms go off to shop after egg is laid, the dad must look after the penguins back at home while mom's having fun at the shopping mall, the fashion's on. Dad's got, there we go, he's got this little egg balanced on his webbed feet, and it must touch the ice. The ice is like minus 30-something degrees Celsius, and that egg will be dead if it touches the ice. So he's got to huddle together with the other dads, and they take turns on who's going to be on the outside in the freezing, howling winter, in the dead of winter, in the middle of the Antarctica. And when the baby's born, he's still got to stay as a chick on dad's webbed feet, and dad protects him, and dad has kept some food undigested in his throat for months just to feed the baby, which is essential for the baby to survive. Because they're far from the ocean, and they've got to wait a long time for mom to come back with anything. They have nurseries, and while the kids are in the nurseries, there's some dad standing guard against the skua birds who might come in as the autumn, as the spring hits, and they're very protected. And they are so successful, there's 14 million emperor penguins out there. So wow, talk about dads of the decade or the century. So these are penguins, and they are even amongst the example of God's creatures. Okay, it's understandable that a penguin would love their baby penguin, but could you have love between species? Here's a hippo who got separated from its mother in a tsunami, and this hippo got adopted by this... Yes, isn't it amazing? The hippo and the tortoise bonded, and the hippo adopted him very much. Here's a chimp looking after a baby tiger. Obviously, a lion loves its cubs, but you know a dog can love a cat? Do you know that a dog can adopt little chicks? A tortoise and a kitty who are friends? Dolphins and dogs. Quite a few dolphins and dogs are friends. And, of course, cats are good friends of horses because they protect the horses and the horses' food from rats. And here's a moose, a dog and a deer, and giraffe and an ostrich. Yes, even a cat and a budgie. Not easy. They've got to be born together, but it does happen. Okay. Anyone who's adopted pets knows that animals have character, memory. Even in the same litter, they can all have a different character and different personality. They have memory, they have preferences, they have sensitivity, they can have compassion. I had a lion as a pet when I was growing up. And any of us who has the privilege of having lions as pets or leopards as friends or cheetahs as friends, and I've got a few cheetah friends as well, they can say animals can have great character and personality and affection. Big question, will our pets be in heaven?
Yes.
I believe so. Over the years, our family's rescued a lot of animals. We've adopted a lot of cats and ducks and bunnies and so on. And my daughter Andrea, she loves rescuing animals. We've had to do a lot of rescues. And we can see the different characters amongst them. And so, yes, this is the kind of thing you can come home to. And one of our ducks that we adopted. Bunnies. When I was growing up, a newspaper story is made of me, a little boy who lives in a world of lions, because I was always lion crazy. And then when I was age 5, my dad brought home a lion as a pet. And Vivian became my best friend growing up. So I also had Malcolm, a leopard, as a friend. And when any of our pets have died, my children have asked, will we be able to recognize our pets in heaven? And my answer is, yes, we certainly can. We can definitely know that our pets will be in heaven. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion, and little child shall lead them. Search from the book of the Lord and read, not one of these shall fail, not one shall lack a mate. For my mouth has commanded, the Spirit has gathered them, he has divided the lot, and they shall possess the land forever, they shall live in it for all generations. Isaiah 34 speaks of God giving the land back to them. God is the source of love. Have you ever thought there's nothing good in us unless it comes from God? If you love your pet, that love came from God. God is the source of all love. You could not love your pets more than God does. It's not possible. If you love your pets, you can be sure God put that love there for a reason. And these furry family members are loved by God even more than we love them. The animals in the ark show us that animals can share in the salvation of God's people. And so we can have confidence that even those animals that we've adopted in our families can share in the blessings of redemption. Jesus said, behold, I make all things new. Next question. Will extinct dinosaurs be in heaven? Yes. The book of Job, God refers to a lot of these animals, the behemoth and leviathan. Imagine one day you'll be able to get a flight for the pterodactyl. And you can ride on a triceratops. I mean, won't that be phenomenal?
You can keep going. I've just got to take great ones back. So yes. Back. So great ones, which is Ava. I know you're great too. Ava, Dylan, Noah, and Rowdy. I'll take you back. The rest of you can stay.
Have you guys got any questions? I see we're getting short of time. Anybody got any questions?
Questions?
Complaints? Criticism? Yes.
Can we die in heaven?
No, you cannot die in heaven.
Can you get re-killed?
No, you cannot get re-killed in heaven. Yes. I was brought up in Rhodesia, Africa, and it was possible. They didn't have the kind of laws you probably got over here. And so my dad was a hotel manager, and there was a film being filmed called Dingaka, and Julia Krause was an actress, and she was given this little line card that was part of the film. The film was named after her. And either she couldn't take it on the plane or whatever, but she gave the line, this the little cub, to my dad, the hotel manager she left. And my dad came home knowing I was nuts about lions anyway. So as a 5-year-old, I got the best present anyone could ever get a lion. Isn't that amazing? Yes.
Can you live another life?
Well, we only get one life to live on Earth. But in heaven, there'll be all sorts of things God will have us to do. He speaks about a person who's faithful with one talent here on earth, can be given 10 cities to care over. There's all kinds of rewards and duties. There's no doubt that we won't be idle in heaven. God will have work for us. Yes. Sorry? That's an interesting point. When you die, will you be the age that you died? I don't know that there's different ages in heaven. And therefore, I think it's more likely that we would be at full maturity in heaven. I do not believe a person who dies a child is going to be a child in heaven. No. I don't think the Bible doesn't specifically say, but it seems that in heaven we are not there as husband and wife or anything. We're there as God's people, and so our identity will be far more real than we are here. And here we've got all kinds of problems. Here we'll be perfect. Any other questions? So, you can see something of the Creator in His creation. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power, His divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood by what He's made. When people think of that, they often think of the stars. But I'd like you to think of the whales and the lions and the otters. And, you know, you can see so much of the character of God and what He's made. He's made such magnificent animals, such strength and stamina. And you can just see a lot of the Creator in His creation. Just like when you do a piece of artwork, your parents can see something of your creativity in what you make. Well, God is the ultimate artist. And He doesn't just do a drawing. He does eagles and lions and whales. I mean, this is the greatest art you can imagine. And there's a lot we could say about that too. Any other questions? As I see, I normally take more time than half an hour to deal with animals in heaven. If you're interested, we do have websites. If your parents allow you to go on the web, you'll see we've got animals in the Bible. So I've got this whole thing you can actually download off our web, the Bible and Animals. We've got articles and tracts and so on. We've got a website called thebibleandanimals.org. So if you can catch the mouse, you can get to the Bible and Animals, and we've got PowerPoints like this in full. We've got audios. We've got videos. We've got links. We've got a Facebook page. We've got, in fact, Wonderful Wildlife has got a lot of great, beautiful, inspiring animal pictures. So if you allow to go on Facebook, you could go on and you could find Wonderful Wildlife like that and see a lot of our pictures. Also, We Love God's Animals is for causes. So, any questions? So, what do you think? Going to see animals in heaven? Next question. Are you going to be in heaven? That's the most important thing. Because some people, they're concerned about their pets being in heaven, but we need to be sure that we're right with God. Because the pets, they might get to heaven just because they're not responsible for Adam and Eve's sin, or our sins. But we are. And as human beings, we're responsible to make right with God and to repent of our sins and get right with God and be sure that we've confessed our sins and we've put our faith in Christ as our Savior. Because some people are concerned about the animals being in heaven. I said, well, I think they're going to be there, but are you? And so it's so important to be sure we're right with God. So, any other comments, questions?
Do you know which animals
I think the jealous, sometimes you see some human sins reflected in our pets, and let's face it, our pets can sometimes pick up some bad things from us. It could be a warning that they operate at a basic level that you're not giving enough attention to the one, or they feel threatened or feel neglected. Just like sometimes you can get a young child feeling threatened by a new baby born because the parents give all their attention to the baby and now I'm forgotten. So it can be a warning for us just to be a bit more fair and thoughtful. But also, bear in mind, animals are not responsible creatures like we are for our attitude. Sometimes it's a learned response from their environment. But animals have been affected by the fall. And therefore, we read that all creation groans and is eagerly waiting for the revealing of the sons of God. Because animals are not now as they were meant to be. If you've seen the Chronicles of Narnia, Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, you can see how the animals there could talk. But when the animals fell, they forgot how to talk. And you can see how, I think that C.S. Lewis in the story has shown us how, in the original creation, Aslan sings creation into being, and all the animals can communicate, but with the fall, they lose the ability to communicate. Okay. God bless you.